10,000 women marched through the streets shouting, "We will not be dictated to," then went off and became stenographers. When we get rid of the supernatural, we end up with the unnatural. G.K. Chesterton. Submission Revisited. Our pamphlet on submission, published several years ago, was for the most part well received. However, over the years, we have had some negative responses from what you might call good and well-meaning people. This pamphlet is intended to shed light on some of these objections. I intend to state some of the criticism and try as best I can to explain my position in a simple and direct manner. I ask the reader to please hold off getting mad until after you have read the whole pamphlet. I would ask you also to please say a little prayer, asking God to enlighten your mind to correctly discern whether or not what is written is true and compatible with His divine will. One criticism I would like to address is, why does he always talk about the woman having to be submissive? Why can't he write about what the man should do and be? Answer: I do write about the man's role. In fact, I am very blunt about men not being what God wants them to be. Most are selfish and are so occupied with their big boy toys that they have a hard time thinking. This lack of thinking causes confrontation with their not-so-submissive wives. I have called men wimps and gutless wonders. The problem with most men is that they have lost their dignity to such an extent that criticisms rarely bother them. With women, however, it is quite a different story. They have been programmed by the feminists to be extremely sensitive to any divulgence of a woman's defects in the performance of their domestic obligations, especially when it comes to submission. They have been mentally prepared to take offense at the slightest suggestion that a woman is to be subject to her husband. This sensitivity is so pronounced that the very suggestion of submission is equivalent to suggesting that she should be treated as a slave. Isn't this sad? God's role of a wife is portrayed as something degrading to the dignity of a woman. And this is being felt not only by the hardcore feminist, but by supposedly good Catholics as well. Is there any wonder the divorce rate is so high among Catholics today? When anyone talks or writes about the man's responsibility, the very people who are upset with what is identified as a traditional woman's role are also upset with what is identified as a traditional man's role. Now, they are not upset if we say the man is irresponsible, lazy, unreliable, or anything of that nature. They are quite willing to go along with these statements, especially if they are angry with their husband at the time. However, watch what happens when it comes to headship and leadership in the home. Boy, does the blood pressure start to rise. Now, I must confess, there are many women who acknowledge that the husband is the head. That is, as long as she has control of the head. The following little story is true. The names have been changed to protect the guilty. I was a training supervisor for an oil field service company. While training one young man, whom we will call Peter, the conversation got around to the husband's role in the family. I informed Peter of his lack of leadership in the home. I was proud of myself for doing him such a big favor. This was many years ago when I was less wise. I told him all the things he should be doing in his home to be a good husband and leader. The young man went home that night enthusiastically anticipating taking over the leadership of his home. He could see himself being respected and admired by both his wife and his young children. I thought I had done an exceptionally good job of showing him what a truly manly man could be and the glory that goes along with such leadership. Now, as I said, this was many years ago, when I was not quite as wise as I am today. The young man returned the next day, very angry with me, and for many years would hardly speak to me. From the little he divulged to me, I ascertained that his wife, being slightly large in stature, almost threw him out of the house. So much for my good intentions. What I learned, and what I hope you learned also, is that you don't send a boy out to do a man's job. Submission is a loving gift from the wife to her husband. It should not have to be forced or demanded. It should be a natural response of a loving wife to the husband God has permitted her to love and honor until death. To try and convince a weak man to take control of his home when he doesn't have the respect of his wife would only cause more trouble in the home. So, I try to persuade women, by logic, scripture, and the long-standing teachings of our Holy Catholic Church, to embrace this most wonderful attitude of submission. This is what I have taught all five of my daughters. I constantly stress that if they live like the worldly woman, they will have the same problems with their husband as the worldly woman has with her husband. I wanted better for my daughters than what the world has to offer with this tinsel lifestyle that only brings unhappiness and, in far too many instances, divorce. I would like to share with you another story. Father John is a very good priest. He has good relations with most of his parishioners, who seem to be glad that he is their parish priest. Father John has been persuaded by the world that the idea of submission by the wife to her husband is nothing less than the denial of her dignity as a human being. Father generally prefers to avoid this topic, but when forced to make a comment, generally quotes a passage in Scripture that refers to mutual subjection. Father uses this passage for the express purpose of avoiding an argument. He knows that this quote is easy for most people to accept. That is why Father likes to use it. Father knows it is unlikely he will ever have to argue, for most people are content with being mutually subject to one another. It sounds so kind, loving, and fair. Being a good and compassionate person, Father is truly concerned with the rising number of divorces among his good Catholic people. He thinks, if only they could mutually agree on things. If they did, there would be no family problems and no divorces. Why is it they cannot mutually subject to one another? What is easy to miss is that mutual subjection and headship are two distinctly different things. In almost all instances where mutual subjection is used, the intent is to water down, or in some instances, completely eliminate the notion of the wife's submission to her husband. In essence, they are saying, there is no head, everyone is equal, the church was wrong. St. Paul is a chauvinist, and he is wrong too. In the new Catholic Church, everyone is free to do their own thing. We will all be happy doing our own thing. Subjection of the woman to her husband is a thing of the past. For all those who adopt this worldly attitude, I would emphatically respond, the love and stability of your families, if it ever existed, will also be a thing of the past. There is a difference. Mutual subjection means both husband and wife are interested in the needs of the other and will put the needs of the other, as well as the needs of the family members, ahead of their own. Headship, on the other hand, deals with the responsibility of the husband to govern and organize the family. It is to the husband that God gives the responsibility to solve any problems the family might encounter. This relieves the mother of the tension and stress that would be created in her if she had to solve these problems herself. Just ask any mother if she likes scolding and correcting the children. You might want to ask the children how they feel toward their mother after she has unleashed her anger on them. Godly headship relieves the mother of the obligation of being a nag. Mothers who are not under the headship of their husbands become something that they themselves don't like, and that is truly sad. Rebirth of Paganism. I would like to quote Pope Pius XII. St. Paul said that as many as have been baptized in Christ and who have put on Christ are all sons of God. There is neither male nor female, because all are one in Christ Jesus. Not so, however, in the church and in the family, which are visible societies. For this reason the apostle warned, but I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. The great apostle felt it necessary to remind the converts of Corinth of this truth. Many ideas and customs of the pagan world could have easily made them forget, or not understand, or overlook this fundamental fact. Would he not perhaps feel the need of his warnings just as necessary today for not a few Christians? Is it not true that in our age there is blowing the ill wind of a rebirth of paganism? I ask the reader, would St. Paul have a more difficult time convincing the Catholic woman of our day than the pagan woman of his day? Weak men and hard-hearted women make it difficult for the Word of God to be heard and understood. Only sincere prayer and a heart that longs for union with God can break the shackles of rebellion that bind so many of our women today. Pope John Paul II. In a homily, Pope John Paul II had this to say concerning parents' responsibilities. In order to bring a child into the world, a few months are sufficient. To raise and educate it, not even a lifetime is enough. There is, in fact, a world of human and supernatural values that parents must transmit to their children so that their giving life might have a fully human dimension. And this requires time, patience, an inexhaustible reserve of intelligence, tact, and love. It is a journey that the whole family is called to make together, day after day, in a process of progressive growth involving all the family members, not just the children, but the parents as well. By responsibly living their fatherhood and motherhood, they come to discover unexpected and marvelous aspects of their married love. Responsible living is the key. So I ask the reader, When women rebel against God and boldly shout out, "I will not obey," can marital love exist? If sacred scripture is outdated and the woman no longer has to obey her husband, then would it not be logical to assume that the children would no longer be required to obey their mother and father? And I guess Dad would no longer be required to love Mom as his own body. Conclusion. Only the Church can right the wrongs of the recent past. It is for the Church to redefine the meaning of marriage from its perverted, love 'em and leave 'em mentality of today back to what God, in His wisdom, foreordained marriage to be. Man with his weakness and woman with her folly can never achieve true marital bliss without the divine grace that only God, through His Church, can give. Only divine grace can enable a man to see the dignity of his duty, both as husband and father, and desire to be the best he can in both roles. Likewise, only divine grace can enable a woman to see the dignity of being a wife and mother, and to also desire being the best she can in both roles. Without divine grace, it would be completely ridiculous for a man to dedicate his life to, in some instances, a nagging woman. Why would he put up with her? Why not do like the worldly man and dump the nagging woman? We must keep in mind that these sweet little gals with their sweet little smiles can, at times, be extremely repulsive to a man who is looking for compassionate affection and feels that he is being denied it by his wife. Affection that today is readily available outside the home with only a telephone call. Without divine grace, it would be completely ridiculous for a woman to dedicate her life and be submissive to, in so many instances, an idiot that is only interested, it seems, in his own likes and dislikes, and practically none in hers and the children's. A man that, if he does anything constructive in the family, she has to tell him what, when, where, and how to do it. So often he is just another kid that she is obliged to take care of. Without divine grace, she can also easily seek relief in the arms of another. We have lost faith in our faith. We have come to believe that living the lifestyle of our forefathers is no longer possible today. We have lost faith in God, His Church, and in the Scriptures. We have even lost faith in ourselves. Yes, we have come a long way, baby, and we don't like where we are. How often have I heard women who, after reading our first pamphlet on submission, say, "It feels so good to let go and let Him worry about everything." Submission is the godly power a woman has at her disposal that can produce miracles. Feminism is mugged by reality. Stay-at-home moms back in style. It turns out that, like childcare, the workplace has its drudgery, its long hours, its repetitious duties, its demands that an employee accommodate herself to the schedule of others. Maybe the home is a pleasanter and more fulfilling work environment than the office, after all. Phyllis Schlafly.